Finally, we are just 2 days away from the Browns and the Raiders as the Browns try to exorcise the demons they found down in Jacksonville, where they let one get away. They will not do the same this weekend at First Energy Stadium when the winless Raiders come to town on a 12-game losing streak dating back to last season. Just 1-13 in their last 14 road games. The Browns, of course, at 3-3, looking to bounce back after that loss in Jacksonville. We've got a lot to cover here on our final 2 hours with you before this game. Nathan Zagura joined by Matt Wilhelm and Joe Juravicius here in the Dog Bowl. We're going to bring you the three-man booth to get you ready for this game. And today, a lot of it is going to be about you. Call your shot, Browns fans. Let us know, how do you see this one playing out? Are you feeling good about the Browns and the Raiders? 216-578-0850. Also, what player stock is up and going the game, and what player needs to step up? So a little stock up, step up. We'll do that as well. And fill in the blank, and I don't want to hear, score more points. The Browns will win Sunday if they do what against the Raiders? What do you think is the one true key to this game? And we'll be with you for the next 2 hours here talking about that at 1:45. Mike Wagman from Silver and Black Illustrated, who previews the Raiders, he will be out with us at 1:45. Mary Kay Cabot at 2:15, and 2:30, of course, will be the Friday forecast with the kid right here in Berea. So a lot to get to. Gentlemen, just want to start with you. How important of a game is this? Because there's such a difference between 4-2 and 3-3. I feel like if the Browns let this one get away, if they lose to a winless team with a rookie quarterback for two consecutive weeks, it's kind of like, uh-oh, here we go again.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, let you. I'm going to be nice.
Sorry.
I'm going to be nice.
There you go. I really do think that the, for me personally, I think there's a whole different feel right now in this building and in this locker room. And that's, it looks like the focus is back. The whole we're taking them for granted and we can roll our helmets out there and expect to win mentality that we saw backfire in our face last week has totally been reversed. There's been nothing but focus. We've heard nothing from that. We've heard the edge in the coaches' voices, in airing Coach Pettine's comments as well as Coach Tabor's yesterday. They're tired of answering questions about what's wrong with us because we focus so little on what we do well. And they want to right the ship. They want to put our best foot forward. So their focus this week is to get a W. And the one thing that we've kind of, in my eyes, really haven't shined a whole lot of light on is the fact that we're playing at home.
Huge.
Somewhere where we dominated our rival in this place just 2 weeks ago. And the energy that the fans and the dog pound barking will bring, that as players, it pushes us. It does. It's good to be comfortable. It's good to be home. It's good to sleep in your own bed. It's good to have familiar faces and colors in the stadium rooting you on. And I'm sure there's another sellout is going to be barking for these players this week.
Matt, I think that's a great point. I mean, don't underestimate the fact that we're coming off 3-3 right now, and we have a chance to go to 4-3.
Yep.
It's the most important game in the season because it's going to give us another opportunity to go one game above 500. Having said that, you've got your Browns fans here. We're back at home. We all know that the most important games to win are the ones that are at home. And if you look at the lessons that we kind of talked about earlier in the week, I see the Browns learning a valuable lesson that, listen, we cannot take anybody for granted. Matt, you hit it best that, again, there's another demeanor around this place. There's something going on here that they know it's a big game, and I just don't see it happening again.
How important was it in your playing careers when you came off of a loss where you knew you let one get away to be able to come home into your stadium, have another game that you really know you should win? Is that important psychologically to kind of get, okay, that's something that happened. We were out of the road. It was a fantasy world down there, and we didn't get the job done, and now at least we're back home. We know what we got to do.
It definitely does, because I think you have it's a longer week. Whenever you travel, it almost feels like your week gets cut short and your preparation is half here in Berea and half of it is kind of on the road as you're traveling. You're doing meetings and in odd places. But when you're home and after a loss, it allows you to really focus in on the good and bad that you've taken from the game and then truly dig in and be fully prepared, I feel, for the opponent coming to your house on Sunday.
Browns fans, there's no place like home. We all know that. Every team that I've ever played on, we always preached you have to win the games at home. No questions asked. So I think the advantage, again, is you're familiar. You've got your routine. You've been in this routine for a long time now, and you know that everything that goes on a day-to-day basis, you just feel more comfortable at home. And if you're going to take the next best step, do it at home.
Got to do it at home. Now, you also guys touched on the fact that the Browns maybe felt that they could roll their helmets out. And while they didn't say that, they said things opposite of that going into Jacksonville. Is that kind of what you saw when you watched that game, a team that wasn't quite as intense as it maybe needed to be to get that win in Jacksonville?
Yeah, yes and no. And I just feel that at certain points, I think that we underestimated Jacksonville. And they were the heavyweight, you know, in that match, and they beat us up. Yeah, and we were the middleweight, trying to show that we can prove and play in a certain weight class, but we weren't. They just keep knocking us down and knocking us down. Even when we'd make a play, it would be our misstep, which would knock us back a peg. Or, you know, we'd finally get a play, and then we try to run the ball, and they knock us for a 4-yard loss. Or, you know, Hoyer gets sacked, or a batted down ball. So every opportunity for things to go well for us seemed like they went bad, which we can control to a certain extent. But overall, I think that the mentality that you go in versus every opponent in the National Football League, it's hard to be ready for all of them as paid professionals, Joe, and you know this too. So the more bodies and the more mentally prepared that you can get inside this locker room ready to go to war, knowing you're not going to have all 45 ready on game day, if you can get 40, the better, you know, and inch yes. towards that before everybody to buy in, because it's going to take that for this Cleveland Browns team. Now, as we continue to develop more respect and we develop more talent and we go out and get more talent and become a better team of superior talent, as we saw even like last night with the Chargers-Broncos, you can go out and play a bad quarter or two and still win a football game. But I feel like all things need to be firing for this Cleveland Browns team to win both at home and on the road.
Atmosphere alone. I looked at last week. I never think that.
There was
no atmosphere there. And I don't think you ever walk out on a football field and roll your helmet out there, although it may appear to the fans that way. But the atmosphere in Jacksonville was just so boring to watch it on television that I think sometimes you get lulled to sleep in a situation like that. And I thought that Jacksonville's offense was horrific.
Yes.
At the beginning. And, you know, obviously they did more than we did to win the game. But when you're watching, it was almost like you wanted to fall asleep on the couch. So I think the best part about what we have coming up here is the atmosphere is different. We are at home. We're going to have crazy Browns fans. We've got the orange. We've got the brown. And we're playing in front of, you know, we're on the lake again. We're back home. We're doing it where we love to do it.
That's right. And one of the keys will be to stop the run. The Browns enter this game with the worst run defense in the NFL, giving up 155.5 yards per game on the ground. We saw last week Denard Robinson, shoelace from Michigan, a quarterback in college, run for a career high 127 yards in that game, gave up over 180 on the ground. They're giving up 5 yards a carry. It is massive. That is, you know, you can't win in the NFL if you cannot stop the run. You can't win consistently in the NFL if you can't stop the run. Good news on the injury front, though. Ataba Rubin practiced fully today. He's probable. He will go. I want Ataba Rubin to step up and be dominant in the middle of this defensive line. When you're getting paid about $8 million a year, when you're one of the top five guys paid on this team, and your sole purpose on this roster is to stop the run, you need to do it effectively. You need to be a massive difference maker. And he's gotten a couple weeks off now. He's back. I think he's got to step up and really be a baller in the center of that defense.
He definitely does. And you could see that this defense has missed him. And Nathan, to your point, when you talk about every NFL defense across the entire country, okay, every defense, they have a series of goals. It's number one in most cases is stop the run. Stop the run. Create turnovers or win the turnover battle and get off the field on third down. Those three things are a defense's fault. It's not stop the quarterback or limit them to passing yards. Yes, you have a goal to limit it below a certain yardage, but if you stop the run, you know, you make them a one-dimensional football team.
Right.
And in this case, for the second week in a row, we're seeing a rookie quarterback. Now, do I feel that Derek Carr is by far and away better than Blake Bortles? Absolutely. He's got a better arm. He's much more polished. He actually, to me, has some veteran weapons that are playing well for him right now. They just don't have a running game. So if this defense can do 2 out of 3, which means create turnovers and stop the run, we'll win. If we get off the field on third down and create turnovers, we'll win. If we stop the run and, you know, whatever combination it is, we must do it. And again, we've said time and time again, we've seen specklings of this defense playing extremely well. You know, but statistically, I think we have another great opportunity to go out and put an amazing performance against a struggling football team in front of us.
Don't underestimate the size of Rubes. You know, I mean, that guy was here when I was finishing up my career here in Cleveland, and he's a professional. I mean, the reason the guy's getting paid what he does and the reason he's so well-liked and so missed is because he's very good at what he does. So anytime you have a veteran that's able to come in and just kind of stymie the offensive lineman and get a little bit of penetration and just make it that much more difficult for the opponent running back, it's nothing but a plus to have Rubes back in
there. You need to see him in there, set the tone, get this team in third and long situations. Now, they don't give up many sacks. They've only given up 5 on the season. But when you get them in third and longs, you can get off the field easier, and that helps. And right now, when you look at this game, you have a couple things going on. You have an Oakland Raiders defense that does not get off the field on third downs. They're giving up 53% conversions. That's the worst in the NFL.
Like that.
That's good news for the Browns because,
quite frankly,
the Browns are 28th in the NFL and converting third downs offensively, because when this team gets in third and long and everybody knows they're throwing the football, it's been tough for Brian Hoyer and these receivers to pick up those first downs. And when you don't have the threat or the ability to pick up some of those first downs running the football, it hurts your team. And this is hopefully a game where the Browns can get healthy in that regard.
You're right. And the freshest thing in my mind is just going back to last week. We struggle on the ground. And I think at one point in the game, and I don't think it really changed much towards the end of the game either, was, you know, at the average third down distance for us to achieve to make a first down was something around 9 yards.
It was.
You know, and that is not a comfortable situation for, I don't care who you have at quarterback, whether it's Johnny Manziel or Brian Hoyer, you don't want to be in a third and 9+, and we actually found ourselves in that plus situation from time to time as well.
You know, the thing is, from a strategic standpoint, too, when you start getting in those third and long, they bring the house. They're going to force you to throw a hot call, you know, a hot route to your receiver and come up and make the tackle and stop you short. So it's a whole different thing when you can get that to third and short. It makes it that much more manageable because now they can't blitz you. They've got to respect the run, and they've kind of have that in between place. Are we passing? Are we throwing? You just open your playbook up that much more.
And even more so than that, Joe, just to make a point, it's you also force an accurate throw under pressure in those situations. And that's something that Brian Hoyer, as we've seen statistically, and we very glaringly saw last week, him not be able to do.
Right, and we saw when they brought pressure last week, it was tough for Brian Hoyer to deliver an accurate pass. He looked uncomfortable in the pocket, and he also missed some of the hot reads. And when you're a quarterback, you can't miss those hot reads. You got to be able to get quickly and find where the gap is, because when a team blitzes, there's an open spot somewhere. It's just a matter of being able to find it quickly enough, getting the football out accurately and on time. And that's something the Browns really did struggle with this week. And I think it all comes down really to the point of attack, as we talked about defensively. You know, hopefully Ataba Rubin being back, that'll help. Offensively, you got to control the point of attack against this Raiders front. Now, they only have 6 sacks on the season, second fewest in the NFL. They have not been like the Jacksonville Jaguars by any stretch of the imagination. They can't stop the run. They're a little long in the tooth. We know Lamar Woodley will be out for them in this game. And so the Browns have to take advantage of that themselves as well. Usama Young also out, but he's not up front. He's in the back end of that defensive safety, who did spend some time here with the Cleveland Browns. Looks like Justin Tuck will be able to go. But this is a game, for me, this is the litmus test for this offensive line. I'll give them a pass for last week. They were fine in the second half against the Steelers. They were bad last week because I think they got beaten up by a dominant defensive front. I think the Jags, that's what they invested all of their money in the offseason. They made a lot of moves. That's what Gus Bradley wanted, and that's what he has. This week, though, is a defining moment for where this offensive line is going to be. If they don't get the best of the Raiders, I'm going to be really concerned, because to me, that offensive line was the key to everything we were doing offensively.
You're right. And losing Alex Mack, you know, because of the type of game that we were in with the Pittsburgh Steelers, we overcame that. The momentum of just getting thrust into the action. In some cases, the backup player plays better. But when those individuals have a weak, you know, on their shoulders to be prepared schematically for what they're doing, and then getting those practice reps, and are they truly, they're a backup player for a reason. And I've heard, you know, a few analysts say that this week, you know, and I think it was actually Charlie Casserly talked about it on RBS yesterday, talked about, well, they're a backup player for a reason. So you can't fill the footsteps of a guy like Alex Mack. What we hope is that we had 1 week to get it really wrong, and see, you know, and find out what the trouble is, and we've got 1 week now to get it right, because we have another great opportunity to be able to run the football and dominate up front.
Yeah, the Browns, when they run, it's with their running backs. No team gives up more yards per game on the ground to running backs than the Oakland Raiders, 133 so far this season. All right, when we come back, it's going to be Call Your Shot Friday. And let us know the following Ohio Business Machine hot topics. The Browns will win if they do what? Who needs to step up? Whose stock is up in your eyes? Let us all know here. 216-578-0850. Browns, Raiders, First Energy Stadium. Just over 2 days. 2 days. 2 hours. Or 2 days, 3 hours, and 10 minutes away from the Browns and the Raiders. Let's go, folks. CBD.